morning I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 17 through 19. That is, in Christ God was reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation.
Good morning. We've got a lot of our visitors absent today, and I don't know where they are. I've been gone. I just got back, and it's good to be home. I've been drinking creek water for 8 days, and it's good to drink something else for a little while. Been out in the mountains, so I've been wanting to preach this lesson, this topic, for a while, and so I'm glad personally to be able to kind of address this morning. Something that's kind of been on my mind a little bit. And I want you to know that there is absolutely no rebuke here in anything I say. I'm going to really try to make sure my voice inflection doesn't reflect that. It's just really an admonition is what we're talking about this morning. And I think my slow reveal did not get put on this, so we'll just see about that. The whole idea of self-definition, you know, self-identity, the identity that we establish for ourselves and what happens in our lives, how we characterize ourselves, all of those different things. That's really what we're talking about this morning. And we're talking about how this takes place in our Christian relationship with Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to do some different things, sort of, as we go through this. One of the more challenging things that happens in life is the identity that is given to you. And the whole idea, and I mean the whole idea of finding, it's like finding your place in life, but so many times that's defined by somebody else, which is a real problem. And we all know that that can be a real problem. If you just take a minute right now, and I know here we are in this religious setting, and we are supposed to think that we're saints and all that kind of thing, but normally, how do you think of yourself? If you were to talk about your own identity, what would it be? Would you be a police officer if you are a police officer, or, you know, a tech with, you know, some big software company, or whatever it might be? Is it really not, you know, is that the first thing that comes to mind? First thing. I mean, for me, being a preacher, that's the first thing. That's how I characterize myself. That's my identity. But if I worked somewhere else on a different job, that would be my identity, or whatever. When I was a garbage man, my identity was a garbage man. Way back when that was true about me, when I had that particular job. So, but what happens in our society is we are defined by externals. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's our job. It's a number of different things. And it's not that we're identified. We are defined by it. Now, there's the problem, you know. And once again, there's no rebuke here. It's just the way things are. We are defined by these external, for the most part, things that are true about our life. And there is huge danger there. I mean, any of us, if we stop and think about that for a minute, we can think about how horribly dangerous that is by about things like that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Corinthians is a great place in the Bible to make a number of different points along this kind of line. But in 1 Corinthians 6, this is a real familiar passage of Scripture. Verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. and such were some of you. Their identity used to be all these things. That's what they were. But thanks be to God, verse 11, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. They weren't those things anymore. If there's one place where we will not be defined by externals, it's the church. It must be that way. There's a kind of a challenge there with that, with us, to make certain that we're not making that mistake, not just with ourselves, but with the people in the congregation. Now you look at that list again. That's a pretty bad list. And the thing that was different about these people in their lives that was the demarcation line was that they came to Jesus Christ and they repented of that. They're probably still struggling with that. It's not like this, you know, little magic wand gets waved over them and they don't think like that anymore. They still probably did. And we know that the Corinthians had all kinds of problems, but they were not to be identified or defined by those problems anymore. Now, you know, I've been guilty of making that mistake. I've been guilty of not getting the point there about that. I've been guilty of looking at people who've had mistakes or who have mistakes and identifying them and defining them by those mistakes. And I've been wrong about that. What God wants in the church is freedom from that. And isn't that great? That's what God wants. It's exactly like the church at Pergamum over in Revelation chapter 2. And I'll just reference that to you. He said, I'm going to give you a new name, brand new name. All these things that were true about you, not going to be true anymore. I'm going to give you a brand new name that nobody knows but God. So this whole idea of identity is really rather crucial. It's crucial in the New Testament, and it's crucial in the church. Now, we all know that this is true. People are defined by basically two things, basically. First of all, it's performance. How much money do you make? Boy, that defines you, doesn't it? Really, it just kind of defines everybody in our society. It's your economic scale that is one of the first things that defines you. And the economic scale defines you because you have the ability to escape, because of your financial security, so many of the problems that people face all the time. And so your whole identity is established based on your performance. And you could be an athlete, you know. It's really sad to read about, because I've always loved football. I've always loved it a lot. And to see the football players who get to a point in their life and they can't play football anymore, and they just fall apart, basically. Their whole identity, since they were probably in junior high and certainly high school, was identified by them being a football player and being recognized by that, and here we go again, being defined by that. Their whole world is defined by their athletic ability, and there's going to come a day when they're going to have to stop. Their body is going to fail them. So, you know, that performance thing. And, of course, the second thing is your appearance, the way you look. And you find these people who, and you always have to say bless their hearts, you have these people, and kind of like it's more or less in the Hollywood set, but it's not limited to that by any means, who go get a facelift, and they look like a clown. I mean, they just don't look normal, and they're trying to cling to the identity that they've got because that's what defines them. It's really refreshing to meet someone, whoever it might be, who will not allow themselves to be defined like that. And I think, you know, probably Christians more than anybody else get this point, or at least have the opportunity to get this point, that we just simply don't want to go down that road. And so what happens with this is you are personally assigned value by virtue of your performance or your appearance. I went and, you know, go to get a coffee this morning before I come here, and you look at the magazine rack, and it's just filled with images that are there for a number of different reasons, but there's no doubt that there is a value to that person's life based upon how they look. Because if they didn't look like that, they wouldn't be on that magazine cover. There's just no way. They're not going to have me on a magazine cover, except maybe in the post office, you know, looking for murder. So, but this assigned value, and it's the way our society is. It's never changed. It's always been like this. It's the way people are. And you know what I mean when I say this? People are so superficial. God calls us away from that. He calls us away from that. I got those Fitch guys, you know. it's an assigned value, and it's assigned by society. I'd heard the thing about you may get a job if you apply at Abercrombie and Fitch. If you look a certain way, but your job will be in the back, not in the front. You won't be out there showing them the clothes if you look a certain way. I know that company has the right to do that if they want to. It's their business. They're their own company. But it just underscores the value system and who they want in their store, and the image that they're trying to portray, and the draw that they're trying to produce to get people to buy their product. There are two huge problems with this. I mean, they're really huge problems. One of them is that no matter how you look, and no matter your ability athletically or whatever, that's going to change. So if you nail your life's identity to that, there's going to come a day when it probably will come quicker than you think, where your whole identity is going to be shattered. You're going to be struggling to either maintain or whatever the identity that you have. And we got all these people up here. We got people that are athletes, and we got people that are parents. I mean, I tell you, this permeates so many things. You have people who are parents, and their whole identity is being a parent. And their kids grow up, and they leave. And so if they've built their house on being a parent, they're not going to be a parent for the rest of their life, not like they were when they were young. We've talked about that so many times. When people build their marriage on their children, the children grow up and leave. And then when the children leave, the marriage is based on what? It hasn't been based on each other for the last 20 years. You know how that is. Beauty. If somebody is a teacher or a preacher or an elder or a song leader or a deacon, and there comes the time in your life when you can't be that anymore. If I have built my life on that, and then I lose it, not only have I lost all the time that I was identifying myself that way, I've lost the foundation and the time to grow with the true identity that I should have been building my life on. So it's going to change. There is no doubt about that. And then the second huge problem is what I think about me depends on what you think about me. And that's kind of like the major one right there. We let ourselves be defined by everybody else rather than God. you fight against that? How do you fight against just simply being a human being? And you have all of this that goes on in our world, and everybody is defined and identified and all that by how they look and their abilities and all like that and how much money they make. How do we fight against that? But that's the case. There's huge danger there with that. When I was in grade school, you know, there was a fellow young man, David Lennon was his name, I'm sure nobody knows who he is. And he was, you know, all of us didn't have any money, but he had significantly less. His parents had significantly less than anybody else, and we were way lower middle than the whole rest of the world. And he didn't always take a bath, so he got the nickname Stinky. You know, that's just the way it was. And while it was true, he got defined by that. And that wasn't the right thing to do. And then when I was, I mean, you can do that, you can't do that, but you do that when you're in elementary school. When I was in college, there was a lady who worked in the cafeteria who was about 4'10", okay? And she got the nickname, she got the nickname Sawed Off because she was so short, all right? That was how she was defined. And I'm feeling pretty certain that she was a fine Christian woman, may have been a widow, may have worked at that college in that hot cafeteria day after day because that's the only job she could get. Had to put up with all the college kids. And behind her back, they called her Sawed Off. I'll bet God wasn't pleased with that one. It just happens all the time. I doubt she would let herself be defined that way. I don't know that she ever heard that. I pray that she did not. But here it is. The way that we define ourselves will change if it's not based on Jesus Christ. And what I think about me, depending on what you think about me, is nothing but a minefield. Nothing but a minefield. And yet that's what we do. I mean, it's just what we do. I depend on others rather than God, and my sense of identity and my sense of self-worth is depending on what somebody else thinks about me rather than what God thinks about me. Illustration. The movie Hoosiers. I know that's a kind of an old movie, but it's based on a true story, and I really like it. But one of the most tragic characters in the whole movie is a guy who was a basketball player in high school, and he missed the winning shot for the championship, and the rest of his life was defined by that miss, by a mistake. Oh, that happens lots of times. Somebody makes a mistake, they're defined by that for the rest of their life. Something happens to somebody that's unfortunate or embarrassing or whatever, they're defined by that for the rest of their life. God doesn't do that. He never does that. And he doesn't want his people doing that either. So I tell you, this whole identity thing, it really is a very important thing. It's very important when it comes to the church. It's very important for us when we think about all of this. So there's the two huge problems. This 2 Corinthians passage that we looked at, that was read this morning. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Brand new. I mean, nothing's the same as it was. I read this about these self-help books. There's going to be 2,000 self-new. There's going to be 2,000 new self-help books written this year. I guess they're down to about 1,600 right now, and they'll finish it out. You know, you wonder about those kinds of statistics. But here's the thing. all of those self-help books deal with the same problem, and the problem that they're dealing with is something that needs to be buried, right? They're dealing with a problem that needs to be buried in baptism and that every Christian should bury in their heart and never bring up again. They're all dealing with things that should be dead. But the world continues to pursue those things. And people continue to pursue those things. And it's a futile thing is what it is. And it really, so many times, produces so many kinds of misery. It's a universal problem. The Jews had this identity problem. We're studying the book of Acts. You know, Acts chapter 13, 14, beginning the first missionary journey. And the Jews were not going to let the Gentiles be part of their group unless they were circumcised. They just weren't going to do it because they were not going to lose their Jewish exclusive identity. That was their identity. They didn't let God define them. They let them define themselves. There's the tragic problem. And they wound up losing their souls because of it, because of an identity thing. The Corinthians struggled with it. We could go on and on about the Corinthian church. This is why he talks about the body, and not everybody is the eye, and not everybody is the hand. They had this identity thing that was going on where they were defining one another and they were establishing one another's sense of value in the church based on external things, whether or not they had gifts. That's why Paul rebukes them so severely for that. Here God gives them a gift, and they totally misuse it. So, you know, we all need to look up for our identity and not sideways. It has nothing to do with how we look. We need to make certain it has nothing to do with our performance or anything, because all that's going to change. We'll lose that identity, and we cannot let other people define us that way either. We should only allow God to define us in the way that He wants to, which is clearly brought out in His Word with that. Maybe one of the problems that we have in our ourselves is seeing ourselves as being new. I mean, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, you know, all of that. Maybe one of the problems is that we have a difficulty seeing ourselves as new because we still struggle with the same old problem. Right? We are convicted in our heart, we have the need for Christ, we do all of those things, and then we still struggle with the same problem. So we have a real difficulty seeing how new we are. And since we struggle with that, maybe we have trouble believing that God sees us as new. I think that's the issue right there. Not only do I have problems seeing myself as new, because of that, I have problems believing that God sees me as new, that God really sees me as different. Because I'm still struggling with the same thing. And that what that is I need to just trust God's word. I need to trust what He says. If I've trusted Him when He told me I was in sin, and I did, then I need to trust Him when He tells me I'm new. It's all based on a real trust about what God says in the Bible. The whole idea of who we are can be partially brought out with the name. I mean, the word Christian is used three times. You know, this is kind of like the word, the name for the church. There's like 117 different references, and we use one of them, and we feel like we're not allowed to use any of the others. The same thing is kind of true with who we are. The word saints is used 106 times. 106. And yet, so many times we don't sometimes feel comfortable. And what this is because the world has appropriated the definition of the word saint and taken it away from its true biblical meaning. That's the problem there with that. And I'm not trying to be unkind to the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church is kind of like one of the ones that has defined all of this. Catholic Church says all Christians aspire, and this is a kind of a quote from their encyclopedic definition. All Christians aspire to become saints by living lives of charity and virtue. And what they say is all saints are Christians, but not all Christians are saints. Well, the Bible doesn't say that one. I mean, that's not true. Sorry, that's just not the case. Every Christian is a saint, sanctified, set apart, separated from everything else for the purposes of God. And with that, there's no such thing as a second-class saint. Every Christian is a saint. You are a saint. I am a saint. We all are. And when we start talking about concepts of personal definition, I think that really is very important. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We've been sanctified. Since we've been sanctified, we are a saint. Because we are sanctified. And then Corinthians again, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, even to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The Corinthians? Yeah. The Corinthians. Because God's the one who does the defining. I don't have the right to do that. God does. God defines all those people at Corinth as saints. All right, so here's this. Sainthood does not depend on special works or abilities, particularly when those works or abilities are compared to other people. See, so many times in our world, somebody has to have special abilities, special accomplishments to be, that person's just a saint. Well, why do you say that? And I'm not saying us, I'm just saying that's the way people are. Well, look at what Mother Teresa was a saint. Why? Well, look at all the things she did. That doesn't make anybody a saint. Special abilities does not make a person a saint. That's where this whole thing has derailed. And that's where this whole thing has really kind of become a train wreck. There's no such thing as standing above others in the sight of God. I mean, he doesn't think like that. He has not portrayed it like that. And the second thing here is having done or not done something that we've regretted doesn't make us a saint or does it not make us a saint. And I want to talk about that just a minute. So many people feel like they cannot accept the moniker of a saint or the name of a saint because of something that they've done. Do we need to go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 6 passage again that we read at the beginning, where he said, such were some of you? He calls them saints at the beginning of the Corinthian epistle, and then he mentions that in chapter 6, and I'm just saying to you, our sainthood does not depend on something that we have done or not done. It doesn't depend on that. And so many times, we feel maybe embarrassed or we feel intimidated to think of ourselves like that because of things that we've done. That's not true. Have we no hope? Have we no, and there's no rebuke here. I'll say that again. It's just talking about it. Have we no confidence in the saving blood of Jesus Christ? That's what this is all about. I heard a sermon about this, and the guy who was preaching the sermon said, I want everybody to turn to the person next to you and say to them, if you knew my past, you'd know there'd be hope for you too. And that's right. And that's what Christ is here. I mean, that's what he's in our lives for with that. All of these problems that we used to have, even the problems that we presently have, they're gone as we repent, as we bow our knee before Jesus Christ. So sainthood doesn't depend on any of that. Sainthood is about God and not about me. I'm sorry my slow reveal got kicked out here. It does that sometimes. Living a sanctified life, like God asks, is certainly part of my duty. But, so when we say all this, somebody says, oh, well, you've got to repent. Yeah. I understand that. That's point number one. Point number two. But when I died with Christ in baptism, all sin's claims against me were satisfied by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes me a saint. It doesn't have anything to do with my better performance. It has to do with me being in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So there's my definition. So therefore, by that, I live a life that is defined by God. I can live a life that is Romans, as we've talked about this in the last number of whatevers, Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. I can live a life of confidence. Christians ought to be confident. Chapter 8 is pretty confident. And it needs to be that way. It ought to be that way. Because Paul's been defined by God. His life has been cleansed by Jesus Christ. So it's all different. It's not like it used to be. So this is our conclusion. If we allow the world to define us by our performance or our appearance or whatever, by outside in, then we've got to understand. And if we define ourselves that way, we've got to understand that's going to change. Is simply going to change. If you will pardon a personal, and this is one of the reasons, you know, I've thought about this so much, a personal illustration along this line. I got my first weight set when I was 12 years old. It's been my life up until 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, I go into surgery and I come out and I can't ever lift weights again for the rest of my life. It's over. Just like that. It's done. And so I thought, okay, all right, I can accept that. What will happen, though, is I'll be able to run again, because I wasn't able to run before the surgery because it just irritated my shoulder so badly. Well, guess what? I can't run anymore. All the cartilage is now gone in my right foot, and we're talking about fusing it together. So all these things that were they were part of my identity taken away. And I'm only 40 years old. Well, maybe not. You know how that is. So where is my identity? I mean, who knows? I might not be able to preach anymore. So I'm no longer a preacher. So I'm no longer a weightlifter. So I'm no longer a runner. So all of these things, my beauty could lose. I mean, you know, all of these things, they're going to happen. They are definitely going to happen. So where's my identity? What am I building it on? Well, I think I've built it on Christ. There's this normal thing about when you lose these other things in your life, you feel that. I'll tell you one. When you lose your mate, when you've been married for who knows how long, and I mean, that's your identity, and it's not your identity anymore. There's some tough things that happen in our life, tough things. But God brings us through all of those with a greater identity. And that's what He wants me to see. That's what He wants me to focus on. That's what He wants me to embrace. He wants me to embrace my sainthood more than I've embraced my weightlifting stuff or my running stuff. I've got to put that all in perspective. So, then the second thing is, having my sense of self-worth defined by others is both damaging and incorrect. I can't let somebody else define me. You know, you got something and somebody gives you a nickname and it's demeaning. James had fallen, and he he almost lost both his, I think it's both his front teeth or one of his front teeth, and it turned brown. And so in junior high, I think it was, or elementary school, they called him Brown Tooth. You know how kids are, they can be cruel. And so he's defined, no, he's not anymore. You know how that is. And it takes away your dignity. And I'll tell you what happens too. You don't give somebody else their dignity when you participate in that. Like calling somebody sawed off. You've taken away their dignity. I did. Only God has the right to define us. And he does. And thanks be to God, he's given me a new name, and I've been able to escape all the things that I used to be, and the wonder of that, and the beauty of that, and the glory of that. I have no idea what that is. That's not my sermon. Is that the song? Okay. I don't know what happened there, Chris. Keep going. Okay, here we go. Invitation. Okay, so that's what we're talking about this morning. You know, if there's one place where we ought to be defined correctly, it's right here. There's no rebuke there, just an admonition. If you want to become a child of God, repent of your sins, be buried with it, become his child. Get that new name. And if we can pray for you, come to the front while we stand.